my day is already thrown off and it's because of something really dumb. You know, I get pissy about everything, but I've thought about the like things that cause white hot instant rage that are kind of dumb.
Were you about to say I get pissy about something specific and then you realize to open it up to everything?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some truth in the matter.
Yeah, I saw
here
a little bit in your face where you were going to be like, I get pissy about, and then you pause. Okay, I get
but
you.
I'm talking about the unnecessary white hot anger, and this one might have a little bit of actual reason behind it, but my number one, and we've talked about this many times, is when your headphone cord gets caught on a cabinet corner, on a door.
It's the worst.
And it rips out of your ear. But most of us have wireless headphones now. There's not as many.
My wireless buds are substandard in actual audio quality.
They are. They're all garbage. The Apple ones are so expensive and they're so bad.
None of them are great. There are no Bluetooth headphones that are good. But I have noticed that, like, if I'm going to work in the yard, that's what I use now because it keeps me from punching a wall.
It doesn't get yanked out or the cord doesn't come out while you're mowing and you have to stop the mower and plug it back in, whatever. But that's gone. So my new one recently, and it might just be because I have a house now where I've been lucky enough to save money in radio and I can afford stairs. It's not a two-story house. I just added stairs in it so I can feel rich. But it's when you have to go back, when you're ready to leave, you're about to drive away and you have to go back for something.
Yeah.
I texted y'all last week that I forgot my phone. Sometimes it's like my nicotine, whatever I might be doing for that. Sometimes it's something, it's constant, and it puts me in anger immediately, and I'm cussing at myself all the way up the stairs. Plus, I just got the dog's treats and got them settled.
Right.
Mm. And if you go in, once you've already gone out, then the dogs are like,
no, he's back.
Then they start, misbehaving. It's just, it pisses me off to no end. One, because it's a failure within myself.
Right.
And then two, because it becomes a scavenger hunt. All right, well, where are my keys? Usually, I prepare a little area downstairs for all the stuff I need to grab as I'm getting ready to leave. They're not there, so I got to go upstairs. They're not upstairs, so I got to go, you know. And it just sets the tone for an annoying day. And I've realized, like, that's my most frustrating thing right now. It's the leaving stuff.
Yeah.
I hate it. Do y'all have something that just unnecessarily, irrationally irritates you and sends you to that level of anger?
Anytime I have to do any kind of work where I have to bend over. Anything that pushes my guts up into my lungs is going to make me irritable.
I said unrational because to me that's pretty, I hate it when I have to pick something up weird. I'm like,
whoa. If I have to do work under like a sink, like something's happened and I have to pull the pee trap out from underneath the kitchen sink because the kids threw something stupid down there or whatever.
Didn't you drop a chicken last week? Have you recovered that, by the way?
I did recover patty.
Yeah, tell that story real quick, because I've completely forgot about it, but I heard you talking about it.
Just bizarrely, somehow a chicken patty fell. I was pulling it out of the oven, and it fell in this... I mean, if I tried to do it again, and you promised me $1 million if I could make it happen, I couldn't make it happen again.
Like those YouTube trick shots.
Small area when you open the oven between the oven door and then what would be the oven... There's this tiny little space, and somehow the chicken patty fell perfectly in there. I couldn't get it out. It was lighting up and catching on fire, and dinner was ready, and I kept burning the back of my arm on the grates inside of the oven over and over again, and it sent me to another realm.
Yeah, and everyone's waiting for dinner.
And they're just hearing me screaming.
Yeah, and then everyone gets mad when you get mad. And it's like, I'm getting mad for a good reason, and it's because I'm failing you.
Hey,
and now you're shaming me.
Do you think you'll ever start carrying a man bag or a mag, if you prefer?
I mean, I don't bring that much. My phone holds all my cards. My keys go in my... Like, it's three things that I usually leave with. Okay, if I take my laptop to work...
It's not three things you usually leave with. Once a week, you forget one of the three. I'm just saying, if you got a small bag that you could put it in...
So I could lose all of them in one spot?
It changed things for me. That's all I'll say. When I started putting it all in a bag, it all has its place. I can quickly open the bag before I leave. I check the eight spaces. If everything's full, I can go.
I don't know about a man bag because I don't feel like I need it yet, but... The problem is I'm always bringing like one prop or something to work. And usually I will. I have my backpack, that my laptop. I have all my chargers. I have all my adapters because Mac has decided they only want to have one port that nothing works with. So I have my backpack. I have that. it's just like for the little things, I'm like, oh yeah, I was going to bring Spencer this coffee mug, or oh, we needed this prop for a dumb joke. Right. Whatever it is, it's little things like that. And usually if I forget those, I go, I'm out, I'm done. But when it's literally my keys, you know, because you can usually remote
what did
it start.
You forget today that got you so upset?
It was my Juul. It was my nicotine. So, I mean, I haven't had nicotine yet, so I'm even angrier. It's an important invention. It was turned into a clandestine invention, but it's one of the biggest inventions of our age. Today's the greatest because on this day in history, something was accidentally made and accidentally discovered by a Swiss chemist. And boy, oh boy, did it make things fun for a while. I'm talking about LSD, gentlemen.
Oh, man.
1943, April 16th, in Switzerland, Albert Hofmann accidentally... he was working with different stuff. I forget the chemical company he was working with, but they're a big one in Europe. And essentially, he was mixing different compounds as part of his research into synthetic drugs and stuff. And he started to feel kind of like sick and sleepy. So he's like, I got to call it a day. I got to go home. I was looking on forever for a video of him, of this on YouTube. Yeah. And of course, it's YouTube. So it's just other people doing their analysis or a music video or something talking. I finally find Albert Hofmann in an interview. And I'm like, all right, cool. We can play this on air. And then I realize as I'm about to play it that he speaks German.
Yeah.
And so it won't
Albert
work.
Hoffman,
so I'll do my best. Last Friday, April 16th, 1943, I was forced to interrupt my work in the laboratory in the middle...
Pivot to English?
In the middle of the afternoon and proceed home, being affected by remarkable restlessness combined with slight dizziness. At home, I lay down and sank into a not unpleasant, intoxicated-like condition characterized by extremely stimulated imagination in a dreamlike state with my eyes closed because he didn't like the daylight. He perceived an uninterrupted stream of fantastic pictures, extraordinary shapes with intense kaleidoscopic play of colors. After some 2 hours, this condition faded away. He then said he intentionally took the drug again to confirm as a scientist.
You have to, of course. It's for science.
The next time, he went with a heroic dose, didn't he?
I'm not sure. I remember... Then he took it again and he published a report about his discovery, but there was some time when he took it and had taken like a bike ride home.
Yeah.
And that was when it was like, it was really fun for a minute. And then suddenly like he started having the horrific bad trip.
Well, he wanted to make sure that's what it was. And he ended up taking a dose that was equivalent to like taking 80 doses of acid.
Because he didn't know.
When you've discovered something, you don't know the dosage.
And the thing is he accidentally got it on him somehow the first time. So you're not sure. But yeah, he took too much, went on this bike ride, had to have, I think, his sister help him. But he did say after the, like, horrific part was done, he opened his eyes and it was pretty again.
Uh-huh.
It led to a lot of strange things. I mean, you had Timothy Leary, who was a Harvard professor that was testing it on students. Then had the United States government begin testing it on people.
Huxley all the things that he began to write.
Ken Kesey it inspired a lot of what happened in the 60s for good and bad. The whole hippie generation to the Manson family to, again, the CIA and they're actually trying to drug people. They were using prostitutes... Not real, but to drug men and study it. And then they started drugging, military subjects. There was the scientist who was in the CIA who was working with this stuff that mysteriously broke the window and jumped out of a New York story, like a hotel building.
Yeah.
I mean... A lot of clandestine things happen with LSD, but a lot of good stuff, too.
Surprise drugs, not good. CJ, I hesitate to ask, since you normally don't bring things in for us to try. I just have to assume you haven't brought any... acid for us to try.
I mean, I can't say that legally. But,
right.
If you want to try some, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I was late to trying it for the first time, by the way.
What do you mean late? When's the first time you're supposed to try it?
I was in my 30s.
Okay.
Wait, is there some starting date?
When you're 20. That's when you're supposed to try it. Yeah, when you're 20.
20?
21. 22.
Wow. Okay. 20 seems
when you're
late.
In college.
How old was the scientist guy when he first tried it? I feel like that's maybe a good metric.
The scientists, they're all old. No matter how old they are, they're old.
As soon as they graduate college.
I mean, I would say, yeah, college seems about right. I just, I always enjoyed psychedelic mushrooms more as far as doing these things. And don't do drugs, kids. Drugs are bad. But I found
you're writing an album and music can get way better.
Yeah. Or you're experimenting with chemicals and it accidentally happens, right?
Or like the time I did at Sound on Sound Fest when I Jedi flipped with Molly, shrooms, and LSD. That's another story.
Wait, what? You Jedi flipped?
Yeah.
No way.
But I found that with LSD, if you're on mushrooms, you really have to take a long turn to turn the mood around or for something to happen. With LSD, you walk into a different room, turn a light on, change the song, and it also lasts longer, which some people will be like, it's a bad thing. But a lot of times when the mushroom trip ends, I'm like, oh, I wish that was still good. I still want to chase the dragon. And you can't do that. You can never chase the dragon. It's not a good thing. And LSD can be harmful and dangerous. In fact, Matt's got a story about that we'll tell another day. Anyhow, happy birthday, Albert Hoffman's LSD.
Oh, rats. I mean, and what we fed them.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
It's a Parent Pickup with Matt Bearden. Today's going to be the father to all of us that we never knew.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be. What's worse for us? Candy? Would you give your kids beer?
Depends. What kind of root beer? Yeah.
No, maybe. I'm being serious. Would you give your 8-9-year-old kids beer?
I mean, if we're in like Europe.
At 8 and 9?
Yeah, it's very European.
You would be better off giving your kids beer than most of the diets we're giving our kids. A study conducted using rodents at USC, which is a pretty reputable university. They fed those
rats.
Except
for when it comes to their football program.
They fed those rats a diet of sugar, fat, basically junk food. Junk food, processed junk food, and during the adolescence for the rats. And guess what? The rats suffered long-term memory impairment persisting well into adulthood.
Wow. From eating crap. I guess that makes sense, but it makes you wonder. I mean, I started drinking alcohol at 12, and I turned out okay, right?
Remember, you might be better off with alcohol than some of these junk foods. Here's another
problem
thing.
The problem is they're so good together.
Here's another thing that's
so good.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
It may be our diet and what we're eating as teens may have a very strong link to Alzheimer's disease. And if so, we've already, pretty much all of us that are listening to the radio right now, or the three of us doing it, we're already past our adolescence, which means we may have already done the damage, and now
we don't know.
It's not like we can slow this down with this finding and go, oh, we couldn't help our own kids, I guess, in the next generations.
You're saying Sunny Delight was bad for me.
Probably.
Damn it.
Orange stuff, purple goo. Sunny D.
There's something.
Sounds so healthy. Especially when the juxtaposition of what else was in the fridge.
I know. Lunchables. Yum.
They called orange juice orange stuff.
Tang.
It may have also contributed to our ADHD and the inability for the three of us to have a conversation without interrupting one another.
I mean, we know that's somewhat been proven that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There's something called acetylcholine in our brains. It's a neurotransmitter, and people with Alzheimer's have a low level of it. Well, that neurotransmitter, it's essential to memory and many other functions like learning, attention, arousal, involuntary muscle movement. Well, it turns out that poor diet severely reduces that acetylcholine in our brains.
And again, we're not saying alcohol is the alternative. They're using alcohol by comparison to show how bad snacks are, right?
I was saying that there's no way I would hand my kid a shot of whiskey.
Unless you're in, like, France.
No.
It's classy over there.
In France, nobody hands their kids shots of Jack Daniels. It doesn't happen.
It's a glass of, like, grapes.
That doesn't even happen. I don't know where we came up with it. In Japan, they do.
It's classy.
We love to say, oh, in France, they give their kids wine. It's not true.
It's classy in Japan.
Anyway, it turns out that handing our kids a candy bar could be more damaging than handing them. That's why I brought it up. It seems insane to us, but you know, like my son has eating issues. Let's say, right? He's
but you got kind of lucky with him. And your daughter, right? Like, they both don't eat trash food.
They both do. They love it.
Oh, I thought she was, like, vegan and healthy, and I thought he only liked, like, very specific crust off the peanut butter and jelly sandwich stuff.
My daughter is a vegetarian. She eats horribly, though.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You can still be a trash monster and just eat vegetarian trash.
I thought both your kids were all healthy and crap.
No, and my son only likes beige foods and nothing decent and good. And if you hand him a burger or you hand him fries or you hand him pizza, he's like any other American kid. He goes to town on it.
Sure.
All that is stuff that can help contribute to some of these problems. But the point I'm trying to bring up is, and I'm reading the study, and it's basically saying the Western diet, it's inescapable.
Oh,
it's inescapable. I don't know how we get around it.
Yeah, and I kind of feel bad. We had friends in town that had their kids, three kids at various points, and my fiance just, we have, luckily, it was all left over, so I'm still eating Pringles and Jell-O Pudding Pops and obviously ice cream to this day.
Have you put Jell-O Pudding Pop inside of milk yet and stirred it around?
Not yet. But we just have all this crap they got him. But what I noticed is kids don't eat. When we went to a restaurant, we got him a cheese pizza, and it's constantly yelling at the kids to eat it because they're just pulling it apart. Every time we had meals in the house, the kids are just pulling it apart and spilling it on the floor and giving it to the dogs. So maybe that's it, is stop getting mad at your kids to eat.
No, let
them not eat.
You say that they were pulling it apart. How much were you watching the kids snack during the day?
Good, but that's why, because we had all the damn snacks, so they were sneaking snacks.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, it's a fight. It's an ongoing fight in my house, because guess what? When it's a weekend and it's just me, I don't let my kids have any snacks. Not because I don't let them.
Well, that makes sense.
My wife is kind to my kids, so when she goes places, she considers things like, oh, they might get hungry, so she brings snacks in the car. I'm an absent-minded father, and then I will drive my kids around for 15 hours going, oh, I forgot to feed y'all. Y'all hungry?
I'm a good Uncle CJ and got s'mores to make on the fire. And then when it came time to make s'mores, half the marshmallows and all the chocolate were gone.
Yeah.
It makes sense now. Guys, I think we need a new hobby.
I have one. It's a worthless time waste.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Sometimes just passing the time.
Yeah, but there's nothing redeeming. It's like a lot of hobbies, like if you do woodworking, at least you have like a awkward bowl afterward.
Here's the deal, man. That stuff's not... I do art and stained glass and Lego. There's nothing redeeming. You just have a bunch of crap in your house afterwards.
Okay. I don't have a name for this hobby. Guys might be able to help me find one, what it's going to be.
Sure.
But I've been using like apps like Zillow. And then I'll just put in parameters for a house. Like, it has to be built between 1921 and 1928. And it has to have a pool and four bedrooms. And then I'll look basically all over
around
the U.S.
Around Hyde Park.
No.
Oh, okay. So you look everywhere.
Oh, I look everywhere. I wouldn't look in this city. I can't afford anything here.
Well, because you've also talked about when you and your wife are done with your careers here, you might actually move.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But so I've been just basically... I'll do that, and then all of a sudden I'll find a house, and I'll go, oh my God, that's a house I would move somewhere for. Like, that house, I love this house.
Okay.
And it's not, but it has to be within my price range, something I could actually afford, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll use, Google Maps and stuff to zoom in on the area, and I'll do, sometimes it's available where you can do street view.
Oh, hell
kind of
yeah.
Get a taste
walk
for the neighborhood.
Walk around the neighborhood, see if there's
before.
A creek.
Yeah.
That's how I visited Ireland once.
Okay, cool. And then
nice.
I'll find out, like, are there restaurants nearby? Are there coffee shops? And then I will kind of spend, and next thing I know, it's been 90 minutes, and I've built a new life for myself in this town that... Honestly, I'll never even
visit.
Yeah,
and then you click over to Instagram and look at what influencers you could flirt with. I think it's called map porn and real estate porn. I think there's kind of a name for it, kind of like how people do cooking porn or whatever. They throw that, or crime murder porn.
Right.
It's kind of that. It's looking at houses, properties, but you've taken it to another level because
I've gone so far as whenever I do this, I build the whole thing where I will go and look at the stats for the city. I'll look at unemployment. I'll look at the demographics. I'll look at how the city has grown over the years, and then most of these cities are now kind of shrinking. And I'll figure out literally an entire life for myself. I'll figure out what schools are nearby. And then all of a sudden I'll go, wait a minute. Did I just completely waste 2 hours of my life
on
the phone?
You did, but it seems like it's relaxing to you to fire up those things and get to feeling good. Like, I enjoyed...
That's way more intense than what I would do, which is just have the thought, oh, maybe I should just leave everything behind and start afresh.
Just go. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so,
I will
yeah,
tell you
this. That's actually planning. That's next level to me.
It is. And, you know, you guys will be jealous of my new hobby when I'm enjoying breakfast on the rooftop deck of my new kind of Spanish villa-style house I found today. That was surrounded by nothing. It's like in like a weird... I guess like you call it an agricultural zone, and there's nothing going on there. But man, oh man, did I love the 1920s kind of cool house that was there.
There is something.
Nice.
Zillow makes it so much easier, any of the real estate apps, because you can really look through someone's house.
Yeah.
And it's great to do. It's a fun thing to fantasize. It used to just be with giant rich houses, but now anytime there's a new one in the neighborhood that pops up, everyone's all like, I got to see what that one looks like inside. I haven't done this in a while. I used to do it it's very similar to what you did, Matt, but I would start with graph paper and I would make my own house and own property because we took like a drafting class in middle school.
Oh, so you'd make up like a little sort of blueprint type.
Yes, of a house, but then I would make a village. And then I would make like an entire made up countries and like, you know, the designations for what is a mountain and a lake. And I would do this entire thing on graph paper, and it ate a lot of time, but it was a lot of fun. And imagine, I mean, I guess it was a way to escape the hellish nightmare that's normal life and pretending I was.
I don't mean to diss on what you did, but how many friends did you make doing that?
The friends we make
none.
In our brain.
I know. What I'm saying is if you do it my method, the last step is you take this new city that you found that's going to be your home, and you put the geotag into Instagram, and then it brings up all the recently tagged pictures from there. And then I look at people and I'm like, these will be my friends.
These are my friends. You know what?
This is my new life. Yay.
That is very different.
Yeah. I'm a sociopath.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Hey, just a little bit, but that's okay. Now all you need to do is take it to the next phase and start finding if there's tunnels. I've been on a tunneling thing. Well, because
some people are hobby tunnelers. I've read about this random trivia effect.
Underground cities, hobby tunnel, like that sort of thing. Because
some people are like compelled to do it, like it's an illness or something.
In Amarillo, where I grew up, there's a giant defunct Air Force base, and there's tons of underground tunnels and stuff. Ooh. So I've been really into secret underground cities, underground tunnels, closed off subway networks, like stuff like that. That's what's been fascinating me because, quite frankly, Matt, my friends are the Chuds. That's who I want to live with. Time to beef up your home defense if you're a dumbass.
The internet has never been so easy.
The internet. It's an invention that's sweeping the internet. All right, maybe it's not, but I saw it and I thought this is the kind of thing an idiot would have at their house. Maybe an idiot like me back in the day. I would say 20 years ago is when I would for sure want something like this. Nowadays, not so much.
So that means it's not a full suit of armor.
It's not, but it's something that people get really horny about, self-defense and home defense. And I'm always happy when it's at least non-lethal. But to me, adding that element... Adding something that you can do always seems like you're going to want to do that something. For instance, if you get in a fight and you have a knife in your pocket, are you more likely to escalate because you know you got that knife?
You're saying it's something that becomes first resort rather than the last resort?
Absolutely. Okay. Or just because you have the item. Like, that's what I don't get why people that carry a gun everywhere. It's like you're not going to use your words and wisdom and ways to weasel out of stuff as often as you would because you're like, I can just shoot this fool.
Yeah, that's why for home defense, I use a moat. I built a moat around my house.
Now I can get behind. Yeah, I'm all about booby traps. Unfortunately, they're illegal in Texas. But this is sort of a booby trap and a way to get yourself sued by the UPS man. What is it? It's a paintball gun. Attached to your home camera.
An AI-powered robotic security system equipped with an integrated paintball launcher, face recognition, and sound dispatchers, which allows me to recognize intruders and stop them in their tracks.
You are identified as a non-authorized personnel. You have 5 seconds to leave the property.
Zero compliance. Zero tolerance.
Bro, have none of you seen RoboCop?
Well, just the language.
You are not complying. You are not. RoboCop's machine kills the people.
I was going to say, just the language they're using. It's like they're really hyping this up and romanticizing the idea of you using it as your first, like I said, your first resort.
It's a paintball gun?
Yeah. It's also, I looked into it a little more. It's on a.
You are not authorized.
It's a Kickstarter thing right now, but it's not just paintball. It's also tear gas paintballs and pellets and stuff. So all those, it's essentially like riot breaking up items, which we've learned can really hurt people. But
no one wants to come to your house that bad. I'm sorry.
If you look at, like, it's already happening. Look, my Ring doorbell says there's a person in your driveway. From 3 o'clock till 7 o'clock, that goes off every 10 seconds. And if you look at it, there's a kid chasing a basketball. There's a kid chasing a softball. There's kids just running, like cutting through my yard, going across. And if I had some dumbass crap like this, I'm just going to start war with neighborhood kids. And here's the thing. They know I'm not home. So they might take a bruise at first. They might take a few tear gas paintballs, but they're going to win because they have the willpower in the way. And I don't want to do that. Plus, it's AI. It's not recognizing people.
Right, right.
That's a terrible idea. How often does your outdoor security camera stuff work, Matt? Other than seeing when I come by and moon you, or when Chewie's watching your house and brings friends over to smoke a J. Not often, right? They're not that good.
Mine's great.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like you're complaining because you're not allowed to have this, so you don't want anyone else to have
this.
No,
I don't want it at all, honestly. I'm just saying, like, this seems like a good way to get sued because...
I agree.
Yeah, package thefts and stuff like that are up, but anytime someone posts on Ring, hey, does anyone know who took this package? This guy was on my porch. It's a blurred face sweatshirt. What's going to happen is mailmen, UPS drivers, Amazon delivery workers who are already underpaid and overstressed are going to get shot with paintballs. That is all that's going to happen here. Or DoorDash drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to it's not going to work the way you think it is.
So yesterday we were sitting down for dinner and two guys knocked on the door. And they knocked on the no soliciting sign.
Hell yeah.
And then they were like, hey, we're just going door to door to talk to people. And I was like, were we having a trouble with a no soliciting sign? And said, no. And he goes, well, we're not really selling anything.
That's not what that means.
Except he was selling something. And I was just like, oh, wait, so this just applies to others. It was just a very, and he would have been great to maybe have been like, you will be shot with a paintball.
See, I can tell that Matt is a generation older than us because he answers his door. No one answers their door anymore.
Oh,
no, we don't answer the door.
Uh-uh.
The door never gets answered at my house.
It could be someone with a paintball.
It could be the pizza guy, and we've said no contact delivery, and he's sitting there knocking.
Like your neighbors don't come by?
We talk to each other in the front yard and stuff, but no, the door does not get answered.
Oh, my neighbors come by sometimes and talk, and he did one of these things, like a friendly knock, and I was like, oh, it's one of my buddies coming by.
I did have a bet.
I figured it was probably you mooning my camera on the front lawn.
No. See, he used a manipulative tactic. You could use an AI guardian, I bet, with a paintball gun.
I did get tricked the other day. We had a DoorDash delivery, and I was taking a nap, and I heard a knock, and then next door, there's an Airbnb next to my house, and it was a bachelorette party, and I look at my Ring doorbell, and I see a cute girl, and I'm like, well, that might be the DoorDash. That's why I was already up. And then I was like, or it could be the bachelorette party next door, and they accidentally toss something in the yard, and this gives me an excuse to talk to him. I'll go answer. I answer my door, and this really cute, like, butterfly flower of a female walks up, and she's like, hi, I'm out here. Beautiful day, right? It's gorgeous. She's like, but I'm fundraising! And I was like, and then she got me. Yeah.
I can tell that you're from a different generation, because you do stuff like order from DoorDash, but also complain that you never have money.
Yeah, very, very much so. Anyhow... Kickstarter, if you want a paintball, tear gas, front door gun on your camera,
yeah.
I would not recommend Matt get one because Matt, you know who likes to drop by your house unannounced all the time?
You.
Yeah, dude, he would just be brutal. A homeless man who has been, quote, terrorizing a neighborhood in South Austin is finally getting help. If you've followed threads on Reddit or occasionally the neighborhood apps, you've heard about this guy for several years. There's been a man, he essentially lives in a greenbelt. And he runs around with an axe screaming. It's pretty wild. And
keep Austin aware, bro.
Yeah, but he scares people. He makes people uncomfortable. He yells murder threats to people walking their dogs.
Keep Austin feared.
There you go. But, you know, it's been several years of this over in the Westgate area. He cuts trees all the time. He has chainsaws.
He's had a pole cutter,
and he's like, he's back there making some art, but he's also scaring the crap out of people. He's been arrested a few times, and the police say, you know, we arrest him. Then it's up to the courts, and I guess the court's like, I don't know what we're going to do with this dude, because he clearly has, allegedly has some mental issues.
Everything you've described is you. You have swords, you have knives, you have throwing stars, you have mental
issues. Aluminum.
Yeah.
All this guy's missing is a flamethrower, so he can take
it. No, he had a couple of propane tanks. I saw the picture.
Okay, he's very close to being
CJ. So what's up with him?
Well, I don't yell at people and threaten them when they walk by. I just make uncomfortable conversation.
I do dad jokes. You hold people hostage dad jokes.
It's a different kind of fear and danger. At some point, he's been seen walking around with a chainsaw. And it's been really frustrating because I think a lot of us know that there's no system to get people that have mental health issues, mental help.
And
jailing them doesn't help either. Like, people are like, well, he just needs to be locked up and thrown away the key, or let me see him in there and I'll shoot him. And just all these weird, like, cowboy fantasies of jail and murder. And
it's weird.
Man, it's not that easy. Because, again, jailing him doesn't help. And even if they did arrest him, he essentially took a sledgehammer to, like, city property or state property. And it's like, well, they arrested him, as they should. And then it's like, well, how long can we keep him? What can we do? Like, how do we try this guy? And then what happens when you do find him guilty, fine him, and release him? Then they get a warrant, and then they get arrested for a week, and then they get... It's just a weird, unending cycle. But it looks like there's finally, according to Fox 7, there's some, hopefully, help on the horizon for the people in that neighborhood and the homeless guy. Because it does suck. I've had an encampment behind my house.
Yeah.
This lady named Rosewind.
We used to come over, and they eventually cleared out some of the brush and stuff in your backyard. And you could see all the tents and stuff that were up there. It was like a little small community.
Yeah, and then I went back and cleaned it all up, put it all in shopping carts. Because it was the extended stays property. And I went and pushed it all to the dumpster at the extended. But this one woman named Rosewind, and she was back there, and she's like, I'm sorry, I'll only be here for a few days. And you're okay, here, I brought you some blankets and pillows. And then it just grew. And then I was kind of talking to over my fence to some of the guys, and some of them were kind of yeah, man, I'm sorry, we're kind of, and then other of them were just effing crazy.
I love this trip down your memory lane, but can I find out what happened to this dude?
It's a frustrating thing.
I'm just saying,
for both sides, it's very frustrating. Anyhow, they ended up getting a hold of his mom. She's been working with them. They apprehended him at some point, and she started the process to file for protective custody, because in order to get him, I don't want to say committed, but put somewhere where he can get help, maybe. Is that kind of the way we're looking at this? I don't know, but
hope
the
so.
Mother has to get protective custody.
I can't use the word committed.
And then she can legally do something about it, and she's taking him back to New York to get help. Is the way we're looking at it now.
Okay, good.
So
that's good.
I think so. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, there's going to be one less person at least running around, in the green belt with a hatchet,
Yeah. Y'all want to go on the Facebook comments from Save Austin Now people?
No, because they think that they're very...
Well, they have horny murder fantasies.
I think a lot of people who are the Save Austin Now people are just misinformed. I really do. I don't think that they're all hateful people. I think they're misinformed about the situation.
I think they're deliberately misinformed by the people
at
the top.
True. That may
who
be
essentially
true.
Use it just as a fundraising platform.
Well, that is, you and I happen to know some of the people involved, and we happen to know that they like money.
And hate hobos.
Maybe don't use that term.
Okay, fair enough.
Also, hobos are a very specific type of...
They travel
unhoused.
And they move along from town to town.
No, they are only headed towards home. They are leaving work and headed home. Hobo stands for homeward bound. You're leaving work on one coast and headed back to your original home. That's different than a tramp.
Or a rapscallion.
Or a scamp.
Okay.
I went through one day and learned what all the different terms meant.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we've learned something. And, if you want to read more about it and actually understand, Fox 7 has a story about it. And please go fight on the Facebook comments.
Did you know?
As dogs became domesticated, and in a pretty short time, they evolved traits and specific muscles. This case, they evolved specific muscles that allow them to raise their inner eyebrows to manipulate human emotions,
really?
Amongst other Whoa. Things. So dogs have found a way to make themselves cute. Please wow. feed me. Please don't kill me.
No wonder they're our man's best friend. Those little sneaks.
Yeah, the little eyebrows and eyes to make. Look at this dog's face it's making. Look at the picture they chose. It's so cute.
Yeah.
And that's like a Rottweiler lab mix, too. That's a dog that could bite your face, but it's just looking so cute. You know how dogs kind of came to be our friends? They would hang out near like early humans as they were sitting around a campfire and they would kind of eat the waste food.
Yeah.
And then the humans found that like the dogs would get territorial around their waste food fire pit and would ward off other prey, would bark, would make noise. And so it just kind of became a symbiotic relationship that has lasted to this day and gets a lot of tummy rubs.
No. That's so nice. Hey, did you know?
Do you know?
In 1859, there was an English settler named Thomas Austin. He lived in Australia, and he imported 24 rabbits. He decided just to let them go free on his property.
Dang, man. Big mistake.
He said he wanted a touch of home and a spot of hunting. It was, after all, it's just 24 rabbits. By 1920s, the population had reached, are you ready?
1.3 million.
10 billion.
That is drastically way more.
Yeah, it is way more.
Oh,
there weren't any natural predators, so the rabbits were just doing massive amounts of humping.
That's
and reproduction.
Insane, dude. Yeah. If we're ever going to colonize a planet, is that something we bring along?
Take the rabbits? Sure.
I mean, animals like that can just grow and spread, but then it becomes a problem. I don't
know.
Well,
you got to be careful of the Mars hawks. Mars hawks love the taste
of
rabbit.
They have laser eyes, too.
Did you know? Have you guys heard of this author, C.S. Lewis? Mm-hmm. He's written some of the classics, like The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. Did you know the death of British author C.S. Lewis went largely unreported by news media because U.S. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated less than 1 hour after?
Oh. Did you know?
I don't feel bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all
right.
Okay, whatever.
Imagine having your big moment. Did you know?
Huh.
Around the same time, back in the Cold War, Romania ran out of toilet paper.
Yikes, dude.
Fortunately, as part of our spreading the message of the West and democracy, we had sent Romania 20,000 Bibles, which subsequently became toilet paper.
Oh, what do you know? That's kind of nice. Is that a mean thing to do, or do we use it, or...?
They just read it while on the pot, so it made not being able to wipe a lot more comfortable.
All right. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to continue the Cold War stuff.
Please.
During the Cold War, the USA put together... Oh, did you know? During the Cold War, the USA put together a program. We manufactured a ton of enormous condoms. They were labeled medium, and then we dropped them over the USSR to demoralize the people of the USSR.
Because medium is more believable than small.
Yeah.
If you do small, like, all right, they're trying to, but medium.
Yeah, wow. So basically these condoms were dropping, and then they said medium on them, and then they didn't fit anybody, and they were like, oh my God. Americans are so much more bro-y than us.
Damn.
Let's see. I got a penis size by country chart.
Okay.
Oh, hell.
And I want to see where Russia stands in comparison to the United States.
I get it.
It's pretty cold over there, too, right? So that's kind of unfair.
Well, I mean, grower versus shower, that's one of the laws of thermal dynamics, right?
Yes.
I mean, it can change. Unfortunately, these are all websites I shouldn't have clicked, so we're just gonna bail out of this and assume that American dongs.
Well, here's the great thing about America:
strong and long.
We're a melting pot, which means we have all dongs are represented.
Yeah.
Whereas it's mainly more of the Slav dong that's Slav and then Asian dong that's represented in Russia.
Yeah, yeah, surprising mix of
USA,
USA, USA.
All that glitters might be gold.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
Is it weird? Is it wired? Matt Bearden's here, and we're going to figure it out.
Guess what? Fool's gold might actually be worth something after all.
Pyrite?
Yeah.
Yay!
Good old-fashioned pyrite. Or specific deposits of the pyrite, for instance, in this story.
Because it's radioactive, and they've just been selling it at all these Colorado truck stops?
No, yeah, the U.S. is Appalachian Basin, or Appalachian Basin, if you prefer, and you're from that neck of the woods.
I've heard of that place.
Guess what? They have been going through pyrite minerals in the shale in that area, and they've been finding pretty significant chunks of lithium. Guess what? Lithium? Worth a whole lot of money if you can get it by the chunk and the pound and what have you, because we need it for all the
depressed
batteries.
Depressed people take
it. No, it's not that type of lithium.
We're really needing it for all the batteries that we're using, especially like EVs, things like that.
Sure.
Economically, the stuff is highly sought after. To produce lithium, currently, as we find it, is a very, very, you know, people think about how green an electric vehicle is. Producing a lithium is very not green. It's the opposite. It's dirty technology.
Oil and gas guys, you get real excited pointing that out. You're not much better anyways. And speaking of lithium, the central, like, sub-Saharan region of Africa, where there are several countries that have been revolutions recently, pretty much influenced by Russia.
Yeah,
Russia kind of holds sway and dominion over where all the lithium in the world is being, and China, too.
There are a lot of human rights violations surrounding some of these lithium pits as well. That's why I'm bringing it up. But basically, they're finding these really good traces in the shale of pyrite. They're not positive just yet that they can extract it, but they are pretty sure they can. They said, look, this is only really one big deposit in the U.S. could be great for us. But they said if we can figure out the best way to extract it, what could happen is it would give us an incentive to then go find other pyrite deposits around the planet.
Cool, man.
And see if you couldn't find that same amount of lithium in other places.
That's great. Fool's gold. Who would have imagined?
Well, that's what I think is kind of awesome is that every kid who's ever gone to a Stuckey's or a road stop on a family trip might have, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 cents sitting in their bedroom right now.
Sweet. Filled do with, your part. Yeah. Contribute to the lithium effort, I guess.
Now if we can only find some secret use for hermit crabs, every vacation parent is going to be thrilled.
I went not long ago down the Texas coast, and I saw for the first time ever in my life, hermit crabs in the wild. Have you ever seen them?
Have not.
Yeah. They make those little holes, and then they come up and they skitter across.
I think you're lying, but the they were washing in and out of the surf, and there was I don't know 30, 40, 50 of them on the stretch, and my wife decided, she's like, oh, let's pick them up and we'll take them home to the kids. And I was like, have you lost your mind?
Yeah, that's. They're sea creatures. They're
not the meanest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
They will die before the ones in the stores that are probably bred to.
That's what I was just like. At least the ones in the stores have only known misery. Why would you take somebody and take them out of the beautiful, you know, Gulf of Mexico, it's just surrounded by oil deposits and runoff silt, and then take them to. Plus, we don't want a hermit crab. No. Leave it alone.
No. What if that's it? What if hermit crabs like fracking? You squeeze them and you get just enough like crude out of
juice.
It. Yeah. plus like crab grease and it powers things. I don't know.
Crab grease.
Well, listen. back to the pyrite.
Back to lithium. Yeah.
I will just say this. It could be. If they can find a clean process for removing this, that this could be a huge windfall for.
Yeah, they won't. They'll find a cheap process, but it could be huge.
It could be huge. It could be a big deal, at least for the people that own the lithium factories and the lithium boats and the lithium cigars and all that.
I mean, to get in on this lithium game.
We're not going to get in on anything. We're the idiots that chose to go into radio, but it's fun to read about.
Well, I'm also excited about this because I loved my lithium last night whenever our power went out, and I've been so used to it in Austin. I was like, don't worry, honey, I have battery packs all over the house.
Right.
Got our stuff. I got the extra pack generator, and I'm like, do you want to watch TV? Do you want me to plug a fan in? Are you hot? Do you want to take a shower? And I was like, dude, she's like, I'm fine. Like, I'm just reading my Kindle. And I'm like, but we can plug stuff in. I have batteries for everything. Things made better by LSD.
How are we supposed to make money on the internet?
The internet? That thing's still around.
How do other people make money on the internet? We'd have to put something up on the internet that everyone would find fascinating.
Wait, I've got it.
Computer, load up Celery Man, please.
Yes.
At the start of the show, we talked about how on this day in history, Albert Hofmann, the Swiss chemist, accidentally dosed himself and discovered LSD, or acid, man. And so I made my own clickbait list here for the internet to discuss things that LSD made better. Now, let me be clear. It is a drug.
Right.
It is. It can be addictive to feel euphoric and escape, and it can have long, harmful side effects if you continue to use them. But all in all, a little bit of LSD ain't bad. Let's discuss things that are made better
okay,
by it.
Okay.
It could be pretty cool at it, like an EDM cool. show or something, bro.
Well, let's start with that. Music. Music has absolutely been better.
Yes.
Because of LSD. Let's start with the Beatles, man. Before they discovered it, they were just a boy
pop.
Band being, yeah. you know, they had some great stuff. But man, did that change the band and make them decide we don't like each other.
Yeah, how it sounds like it drove them all apart and it ruined the band.
Yeah, after
the
some
music
killer,
much better.
After the White Album.
I mean, what if you
Sergeant
given,
Pepper's
given Hanson some bop drops and seen what happened there? You know.
Now, although Pink Floyd might be associated with LSD, I think those dudes, Roger Waters especially, Sid, the kind of founder who went crazy. I think they were already weird before LSD, and to me, Pink Floyd's more shroom music than it is acid.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Pink Floyd, Outer Space definitely made a lot cooler because there are a lot of theoretical physicists, mathematicians that have used LSD in making complex calculations and evaluations and using it to essentially open up their brain to think in weird different ways.
Like who?
Well, let's bounce to another thing that's been made really cool thanks to LSD. Computers. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, the minds that brought you Apple, Macintosh, and of course...
Wait. Tied up, buttoned up, Bill Gates said he dropped acid?
Yeah. And it, I mean, we all kind of knew Steve Jobs did, but...
Well, no, it makes sense with Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
It makes no sense with Bill Gates.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they knew each other. I'm sure they partied.
I mean, Michael Dell, too. What's going on there?
I don't know about Mr. Dell.
No,
but I do have some if he wants to hang out, you know, look over the cliffs of his mansion.
Now, where's your proof of all these allegations? I feel like...
Where is it? The internet. That's where. That's what the segment's about.
Do you remember the Dell Diddy? That was their answer to the iPod. I guarantee you Michael Dell never did acid.
Yeah, and they fired the Dell dude for smoking weed.
Yeah, I forgot about
their
that.
Spokesman. So, you know, that kind of changed. Movies definitely made better by LSD because towards the end of the 60s, Hollywood was facing a crisis. They were still coming up with these big budget, exciting, like over the top Sparta War, whatever movies. They were doing things like Dr. Doolittle. And then you completely had a shift with one of them was The Graduate. The other one was Easy Rider. Like you started having more gritty counterculture movies that were inspired by people using and doing LSD. And it changed Hollywood. And if anything, some people say it saved it. It turned it from the old guard to the newer, weirder, kind of more progressive Hollywood that started making strange movies.
So we got Harold and Maude. You ever see that one?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. That was... You know, I'm not saying everything was good. There were also some very bizarre ones put out there. Some of these dudes got heavy into the occult and stuff. Not everything was good to come out of it. Food.
Wait,
what
are
you
also,
saying somebody invented a food object or item on LSD?
More along the craft of invention.
Oh.
Creating different kinds of just cooking food in a different way, creating different kinds. There are lots
I'm sorry. Who takes acid and eats? Like, that's not a thing. That's not like weed.
Yeah, it is, dude. You still get... Not like when it's peak intense, but when you're coming down, it tastes so good to eat food. When you're going up, though, it is a nightmare to try to cut
the
into a steak.
The only food that is it consumed with acid is orange juice.
When you're coming down, food is really good again. But I will say, it was basically used by chefs because it helps spark some imagination and inventiveness.
And
there have been famous chefs that have...
I feel like you made this entire list up while you were on LSD.
I think you made it up. We're just like, here, what are five things I like doing?
I've never played with Lego on it. That should be interesting. I should see that because it gets...
That's the thing is that you'll be like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing that's ever been built. And then when you wake up in the morning, it's literally... an 8 block attached to 1 4 block, and that's it.
And there's just a mess. Like, it is everywhere. The dogs have chewed it up. I've taken apart, like, all my expensive collections that are on shelves to build this weird thing. A snake in the sky. It's attached to a ceiling fan for some reason.
It's avant-garde, you know.
Radio never made better by LSD, though.
Sacrificing body, mind, and spirit for the perfect D's Nuts joke. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.